The first Twitter space I stumbled upon was hosted by Matt Daniels, who I'm assuming that I discovered on Periscope because he was quite prolific there. And he said something profound about Twitter spaces. When I asked, how is Twitter going to prevent Twitter spaces going the way of Periscope? Which, regardless of any of the actual use implications, as a business, it has failed and been neglected. And he said that the big difference between Spaces and Periscope is the lack of text chat. And he said that his experience on Periscope was that it was the text chat and people in the text chat saying shit, that was the downfall of Periscope. And so the crucial exclusion, the anti-feature of Twitter Spaces is the lack of text chat. Now, I also joined a space most recently that had a bunch of young, cool people in it. Not Twitter celebrities, but just popular younger Twitter users. I think it was around a K-pop band, but a C-pop band. They just released an album and they were talking about it. Anyway, and they were like, they said a lot of things. I recorded it, that were interesting, about spaces. And, one that did come up was, I really wished it was text chat. Here's the big problem that I've got to surface for you. A lot of people on the internet, the amount of people that I know on the internet who are uncomfortable coming in voice chat, but have lots of valuable things to say via text chat, is immense. Now, I think that, we've vaguely lamented the quote-unquote anonymity that the internet allows, because yes, it has, arguably enabled trolls to say awful shit, etc. But the original promise of the internet was that people who were uncomfortable being identified by name could have control over their identity. And that control, I think we can say, without question, has allowed a lot of voices that we wouldn't have otherwise heard to speak, quote unquote, thanks to text. I know this. I know that there are a lot of people, important people, who are uncomfortable coming in voice chat because I ran a podcast that you might say was about internet culture for a year, Drycast, back in 2015. And I mean, a lot of the people that I wanted to speak to just didn't want their voices to be revealed. It might be a question of, identity, might not be. A lot of people I know on Twitter are trans, and there is no merit in deconstructing whether or not someone is justified in being uncomfortable, but if we were, I think that's a pretty good argument, right? In Twitter spaces, in that original space with Matt, Mike Elgin was also in there, and I can't directly quote, so I'm actually not sure who it was, but someone said that they'd been in a space recently with Twitter developers who had specifically, explicitly said, yes, Twitter spaces was designed without text chat so that people felt safe there. And I can understand that. I would comment, and I did, that what that's going to, it's going to end up, Twitter spaces, with the same people who already have an audience and already have, therefore, access to many ways of engaging with their audience. It's for them. It's for people who are totally cool with chatting with people. People who, giving them tools to moderate. This is expected, right? This is a rational business decision by Twitter, but that's all it is. And I've been writing about this in the course of it, going and, looking at Twitter's about page, which has a big header that says, "We serve the public conversation." And I was like, at first, haha, well, but they do. The issue is how you define public conversation. I think Twitter originally, naively, perhaps, depending on who you are, defined the public conversation as, serving it, the betterment of it, would involve existing as a platform for those who wouldn't otherwise be heard from. But now the public conversation, I think, as Twitter has defined it, is referring to, quote, what's happening. And what's happening suggests a lot of people, what's on the minds of a lot of people together, what are some original thoughts that someone might have that wouldn't otherwise be heard. And the problem, one last thing, the issue with going down that avenue of arguing that business decisions like that on social networks punish the minority is that a lot of people with very foul views feel like they're the minority, and the truth of keeping them from being violent to people, well, the ultimate, like, basically that is silencing them. Now that's, and it, which just makes them feel like they're in the minority more. But crucially, the person, the people that really suffer here are the people who do have edgy, not exactly edgy, they do have genuinely original things to say that aren't hateful, because that's just a very small portion of anything, and it's not original. It's not original to be edgy. But yeah, I'm writing about it. I would like to hear from anyone who is not comfortable being heard from over voice what your thoughts might be on this. Oh yeah, I guess the last thing I'll say, I expecting Twitter to genuinely seek out and uplift silenced voices is something that I've not been burdened with that expectation of Twitter Incorporated doing anything positive for years. So I guess it's a privilege. Twitter Spaces.